This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, getting ready to start the academic year at Umpqua Community College. President Rachel Pockrant. Dr. Pockrant, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much. Always lovely to see you.
So, talk about the beginning of the academic season. We did a series in the past couple of weeks with a lot of superintendents from the area, but colleges kind of run on a different time schedule. So, talk about where you guys are at when you get started.
Yeah, we start next Monday, so we're a little behind the school districts. Shout out to all those superintendents for getting their year going. Those are my peeps right there. So we start next week. Next week is the first day of classes. We did welcome our faculty back onto campus this week and had a really fun time and a good kickoff event. But, you know, it's the best time of the year for us. Summer is a great season, but I spend most of it just missing our faculty and our students. They're energy and everything that they bring to our campus. I really miss it, so I can't wait.
So what kinds of things do happen during the summer, though?
Oh, gosh. Well, we did a lot of hiring this summer, getting back to the staffing levels that we need to serve our incoming students. So there were a lot of hiring committees working. For me and my team, we're open every day, right? We are a storefront. So we're open and students are coming and going and getting ready, either being served for their summer classes or getting ready for their fall classes. So all of that stuff is ongoing. And then there is a little bit more time in the summer for us to do some future planning and think about what we're going to do in the future that we need to put our minds to and make some plans for the school year for that.
And I imagine there's a lot of that going on. I mean, really, after the last couple of years in education and all the different shifts that took place with the pandemic and everything, and then you kind of find yourself on the other side and really, really reworking a lot of things.
Yeah, we just got turned on our heads. And, you know, the way I've been saying it is, it was about time. Higher ed needed to catch up a little bit to what industry is looking for in graduates. And it really drove innovation. So it's a really, really exciting time in education. So Monday, we really spent talking about that as a whole faculty and staff. We had a guest speaker come in who was wonderful, talked to us about Gen Z, and the pandemic generation, what they're dealing with, how they live, how they work, how they learn, so that we could really think about both our services and also our actual instruction with those students.
You know, I have not heard that term, the pandemic generation, before. That's probably one we're going to be hearing about.
Yeah, so Dr. Tim Elmore, who came and spoke. He's a nationally renowned speaker, and we were very lucky that he came to the college. We invited lots of our community partners on Monday night. It was a wonderful presentation. And he really, first of all, he wrote a book called The Pandemic Population. And if anybody wants to borrow one from the college, we've got some copies in our library. Come on down. But he really talked about the different way that this generation has grown up. You know, we all grew up in an environment, in a generation that formed who we are and how we work and how we learn. And that is certainly true for this generation. If you spent a year at home without being around your peers, that is going to affect who you are as a human being.
Wow. So as you go into the fall, what kinds of priorities are you working on for this school year and getting things going?
Oh, gosh, we've got a lot of things going on. We're doing some big digital upgrades in order to really stay modern and current. Our students want to do everything from their phone, and we want to make sure that they can register for a class, get their financial aid in place, get advising, log into their courses, all of that from their smartphones. That's what Gen Z does, and in fact, what all of us do at this point. So we're investing in some software programs and some changes in that regard. We're also looking at new ways of instructing. So think of things like boot camps, or something that you might go to class for a two-week intensive and come out with a certain skill. Think about things like an industry credential that's embedded into your class. So you might get a credential from Microsoft in a certain application that you can put on your resume while you take an English class, something like that. in order to really show our students that there is a large return on investment and also to meet workforce needs. These are the skills that the workforce is looking for. So we are trying to implement some more courses that have those things embedded in them.
So it sounds like you're really thinking kind of out of a different box now.
Yeah. You know, our job is to respond to what our students need and what the workforce demands are. And our employers are really looking for skills these days. The knowledge is in our hands and our smartphone. We all carry a computer around with us. We can, what do we always say? Let's just Google it. So pure knowledge is not as important as it used to be. It's still important, but it's not as important as it used to be. The ability to apply that knowledge and to have a skill and be able to tell your employer what skill you have, what you can do for them, is really important, and it's incumbent on us to make sure that that's what we give our students. They can put that on their resume. They can show they have a skill that is useful to an employer. They are more marketable and more likely to be able to support themselves.
So any new programs going into the fall?
We don't really have any new programs going into this fall, but we are working really hard on new medical programming. And we haven't decided exactly what those programs will be quite yet, but we are in a process of listening to all of our healthcare providers and doing a lot of research into what are those new medical careers coming in the future that our students might be interested and that folks in the community need, have a workforce need for.
And it seems like right now, with so many things changing, driven by technology in every sector, that you really are at the point we used to think about with, you know, in the distant future, where some of the careers that some of these current students might be in aren't even really there yet.
Yeah, for sure. That's actually been going on for quite some time. The jobs we're training them for don't even exist quite yet. So what's most important is that you're a person who knows how to think and knows how to learn, because we are all lifelong learners these days. You and I, Kyle, are always learning a new app, right? Or something that we need for our jobs. So we need to set our students up so that they are ready for that world to advance really quickly in front of them.
So as you get ready to start Monday, what's enrollment looking like compared to last year?
We are super excited to be about 8% up on our enrollment from last year. You know, people are coming back from the pandemic. I think also people are starting to see that there's probably some sort of recession or downturn coming. So even though there have been sort of three jobs for every one person for quite a while, that may not continue. And the very best way that you can insulate yourself from any sort of economic downturn is to have an education, have a skill. And I think our students are recognizing that and flocking back to campus. We can't wait to see them.
What about athletics? UCC over the last few years has really made a lot of changes in that area.
We have an amazing athletics department. I am so proud of them. Craig Jackson, who's our athletic director, just does a wonderful job. And we've got some new coaches this year, so that's some new exciting blood and some new ideas in there. But for anybody who doesn't know, we have around 270 athletes at UCC, and they are in baseball, men's and women's basketball, cross country, esports, and that is basically playing computer games. And I'm not going to do it justice right now because it feels very modern to me, but we have a really strong esports team, kids who love to play video games, and there are lots of skills you can gain actually by being an esports participant. So that's a newer one for us, but really successful. And then we have obstacle course racing, women's soccer, track and field, women's volleyball, and men's and women's wrestling.
And soccer was new last year, right?
Soccer was new last year, yeah.
What kind of response have you gotten on that?
You know, we the games are awesome. We have a great women's team. They do a really good job. And we're starting to pick up a following, it seems like. I was out at the game last weekend, and there were quite a few folks there in the stands, which is nice to see.
And where do they play at?
They play at Sutherland High School. We're very lucky that that school district partners with us and gives us that that pitch to play on.
So what do having these additional athletic programs, What else does it bring to the school other than obviously some people that are focused in those areas?
Yeah, well, first of all, our athletes tend to be extremely good students. Our women's basketball team actually last year had the highest GPA of any women's basketball team in the Western Conference. So they're very focused students because they have to be on top of their game, both in the sporting arena and in academics, in order to be eligible. So that brings a quality to many of our programs that we love. And then the other piece that I particularly love is we have a lot of international students. Students from all over the country come in for athletics, but we also have a number of athletes that come in internationally. So yesterday, actually, I was in the gym and met one of our new men's basketball players, and he's from the UK. So, of course, that appealed to me because that's where I grew up. And I got to let him know that if he needs any of his favorite foods from home, that he can come over to my house. So it's fun to have that international flavor. It brings something to all of our students to meet somebody from another country.
All right, back with more in a moment. Dr. Rachel Pockrant, president of Umpqua Community College. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249. Lars Larson live from Washington, D.C. at 1. Shannon Sebastian has your cue at 4. On tomorrow, we've got a number of staff from ADAPT. We're going to be talking about the impacts of the pandemic, particularly on young people, some of the things they have seen in the past couple of years. So two or three folks from the staff with ADAPT, mental health professionals, working with young people in the area. Today, Dr. Rachel Pockrant, president of Umpqua Community College, as they get their academic year started on Monday. What are some of you talked about all the things in higher ed, people needing to look at things differently. Community college is a little different than the four-year schools on a lot of different levels, but what are some of the trends in community college that you're seeing now, then maybe some of the shifts that are taking place?
Oh, gosh. Well, the reason I love community college is that word community. We are rooted, we are place-based, right? We're rooted where we are, and we're there to serve the communities that surround us. So I think there's always that focus. So that's not really a new focus, but it is sort of saying, what does our community look like post-pandemic, and how can we be most effective in supporting that community to thrive? So that's certainly a piece of it. You know, it's interesting with community colleges because we serve almost 60% of the population that's in higher education in the country. But when you think of college, everybody thinks of four-year universities. But the truth is that we serve the majority of the students. And what I'm most proud of with that is those, you know, I always say, in any community, you're not going to have an EMT, you're not going to have a nurse, you're not going to have a police officer. All of those pieces that are so vital to communities don't happen unless you have a community college. So I think it's just doubling down on that mission. And I do think community colleges have also been really focused on how we might wrap around our students more. We provide a lot of auxiliary services to our students who are experiencing food insecurity and housing insecurity. Unless the student has an ecosystem in which to go to class and thrive in class and learn, so they've got food on the table and they've got childcare and they've got housing, you know, they're not going to be successful in their courses. So we're in a lot of those conversations with our community partners about how we might work together to make sure that all those pieces are in place so folks can get on a really strong path to success.
How do you make those connections for all those elements so that you can keep a student going?
Oh, gosh. Well, the students are great because they tell us a lot, like, here are my needs. We have a great foundation. The UCC Foundation helps a lot with those needs if a student is in crisis. And, you know, it may be something as easy as my car broke down and I can't make it to class. And our foundation actually provides funds that students can apply for to get their car fixed or get gas for their car, those kinds of things. And then truly, it is all about partnering with the agencies in town that provide a lot of services also and make sure that we're completely connected.
We're going to see more with community college and UCC specifically working with high schools on like dual credit courses, things like that?
Yes. You know, I have sort of infiltrated the group of superintendents in Douglas County that meet once a month. It's a great group of folks who just do such amazing work in large and small school districts around Douglas County. And I go to that meeting specifically because what I always say to those superintendents is those students, your students are our students and our students are your students. Oftentimes, whoever's in your elementary school, their mom or dad is probably in class at UCC. So how are we all working together to make sure that there's a really strong illuminated path from K-12 to some sort of post-secondary training? You know, sometimes when people say, oh, you've got to go to college, they think of history class. Well, you know, going to college at UCC means, yeah, you could become a plumber. You could become an apprentice millwright. It doesn't have to be that sort of straight four-year college trajectory. So we're working a lot with the schools on what those pathways are so that every student feels like there's that opportunity for them. We know that if a student comes to UCC or any other higher education institution, that they're much more likely to have a good, high-paying job throughout their life, and they're much more likely to be insulated from losing their job throughout their life.
And we're seeing now that some of those trade-related jobs in particular that don't require a four-year program oftentimes are, one, they're short of people right now because they have a lot of people in those industries retiring. But also, those jobs oftentimes even pay more than what you would might call a professional job.
Absolutely. You know, and it's all about finding the right fit, right? What are you interested in, and how can we get you on a path that sets you up for a strong career that pays well and can support your family? We have a ton of opportunity. I was talking to some students earlier in the week who are involved in an orientation, and I said, you know, this is a great time to be a young person. There are tons of great jobs out there. There's tons of scholarship money. There's a lot of federal support for students to get upskilled. So just walk into all of those opportunities. Don't be afraid, because it's a great time to be a young person.
As you look further down the road, now that you've been here a while, are there long-term objectives, things that you'd like to see the college get to eventually?
Yes. We are working on three things that I'm really excited about. The first one I told you about is sort of changing up how we teach and scheduling and really thinking about getting students through to well-paying careers faster. So that's a big one. Another one is housing. We are really starting to engage in a strong conversation about how we might be part of solving some of the housing issues that we have here in Douglas County by creating student housing, but also transitioning from student to employee housing. So we're thinking about partnerships. We're thinking about some really different models for that. If you heard the president of the college just say housing and your mind went straight to dormitories like you went to, that is not what we're thinking about. But we are thinking about ways that we can both help our college and make sure that it's accessible to everybody, that housing isn't a barrier to come to college, but also being partners with the community, because we, as we all know, we really have a housing crunch here. So we're thinking about that in a big way. And then the other big thing is that we are highly engaged in thinking about how we might do a better job of serving our male population in Douglas County. When we look at our data, our underserved group is our young males aged 18 to 32. They are not coming in the same numbers they used to UCC. And what that means is that we've got a lot of untapped talent in the community, people who might be underemployed. So we're really looking at ourselves and saying, I wonder why that's happened. I wonder why they don't think of us as a good option for them anymore. We graduated 464 graduates at graduation in June, and 162 of them were male. So think about that for a second, right? That's a big disparity in success rates for us. So we are highly engaged in that. We're going to put some resources toward thinking about how we might attract more males into programs and then make sure that they complete and they get into really great jobs here in the community.
Real quick, before we run out of time, you've got a special day of service and more coming up. Tell us about that real quick.
We do. So as the community knows, every year we commemorate our October 1st shooting event that we had at the campus in 2015. This will be the 7-year anniversary of that event, and we are going to commemorate that on September 29th on campus. And we are going to do a day of service this year. I firmly believe that the best way to get over your grief or trauma is to serve others. So we'll be out in the community at ADAPT and Aviva and Mercy and Saving Grace, volunteering in the name of those we lost.
Dr. Rachel Pockrand of Umpqua Community College, 1258.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.